yourself wonderful, Jesus. God, we focus our attention on you and you alone. God, and we give you our worship. We give you our strength, God. We give you, God, everything about us, Lord. Take it right now and take control, oh God. Lord, we don't want to leave anything back, Father. We just want to feel more of you. More of you, God. More of you. More of you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. What a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord, to worship him in gladness. Amen. It's good to worship the Lord. I marvel at worship. Just love it. Then to give myself to it and just, I feel like I'm doing something in the kingdom when I do that. I feel like I'm joining the forces, these great army. I feel like I'm fighting, I'm pushing back darkness, and I just love to worship the Lord. Amen. God is so worthy. You can be seated for a moment. I'm eventually going to read from the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 35 through 44. And then we'll slip over to some other places. I always pray for downtown St. Louis when I'm not in downtown St. Louis. I want God to do great things. And our services happen in rapid fire. 2 in the morning and then 1 at one of the daughter works in the afternoon. And so I always listen for the reports, and the reports were just wonderful. They had a wonderful time, wonderful celebration, and both reports said the place was just packed out. I love that. Amen. That's good. They don't pack it out when I'm there. Praise God. They packed it out. I said this morning, and I want to say it again. Just, it's true. I love and honor and respect your pastor. I realize that not only is it true, it's protocol. It's what people say before they preach, even when they don't mean it. If I didn't mean it, I'd say something different, you know. I would, you know, but I mean it, and I do. Tremendous respect for him, and not just him, but the team here and this church. If I knew anybody who happened to be in your region, I would tell them, don't bother looking for a church. I've got one for you. Amen. And I used to pray, God, take me wherever you want to, but now I pray, God, don't ever take me out of St. Louis. But the Lord ever redeployed me in this region, I'd make this my church. So that's a compliment. Amen. It's a good place. You have a lot of things that our world needs, and you are increasing and growing in those things. Our world needs a church that will preach truth without fear of favor and help them out. A real doctrine that can deliver. Our world needs an expressive place. If they want quiet, they would have gone to the library. So they need to see that there's expression and joy and everything else that you embody here. Our world needs that. And so thank you for being that. I wanna just kind of spend a few moments with you, and we're going to pray again in a minute, talking about this topic. What if you're all by yourself? What if you're all by yourself? I think about the things that people don't do because they don't want to do it by themselves. Or the energy and excitement that's behind a program or a class or a project or something. Until there are not a lot of people involved and there's only one or two, and then it's just not as fun and it dies off. I want to preach to you ultimately tonight. What if you're all by yourself? And I want to encourage you. I want to challenge the church, and I want to encourage you to do everything God has called you to do, even if there is not a choir around you singing your praises or supporting you and saying amen. Is that all right for an agenda for tonight? Lift your voice and pray again with me. Father, we love and we thank you. God, we honor you, and I'm so glad for the spirit and the atmosphere of worship that has been in this house tonight. God, I'm so thankful for your people who have been faithful and consistent, God, to worship you. Lord, you know things that I can't even begin to imagine about what's going on in individual lives. God, and still in the midst of all that, hands were lifted up in the air and people were worshiping you and folks were talking in tongues and dancing and worshiping God. That's love, God, and I'm so glad that we love you as a people. And I thank you for it, Jesus. I thank you for it, Jesus. And I bless your name. The next time I come here, if I get to come here again, I hope to bring my wife with me. I planned to bring her this time, and I thought I'll just wait until the pastor's here. So next time I want to bring my wife. She really is, in every possible measurement, she is the better half. She's more graceful. She is smoother around the edges and less abrupt than me. She's smarter than me. She's a better Christian than me, just all around. So you'll really like her. Unless you just like Scoundrels Only, and then you won't like her, but you'll like me. Praise the name of the Lord. Can I preach for a bit? Can I teach for just a second before I do that? Beautiful. All right. Thank you. I was thinking about this notion of being alone and how, for many people, it's scary. As a matter of fact, the most significant things in life, birth and death, are things that are rarely done in isolation. And if a person is isolated, they don't feel good about it. I've heard many, many people say, I never want to be the person that dies alone. These people, many people have, for instance, not yielded themselves to the call of missions because of the fear of being isolated and being away from family and just being alone. As it turns out, fear is one of four basic or innate emotions. To call an emotion innate means that you were born with it. That means you were born with the capacity to express the emotion without any training or any further modeling of any sort. Under certain situations, certain circumstances, you would express this particular emotion, whichever it might be. The full list, according to social scientists, includes four basic emotions. The first is fear. The second is happiness. And then there is sadness and surprise. So it's fear, happy, sad, or surprise. And then, of course, there's anger or disgust. And I gave you more than four because some of them connect and they're slashes. And so it's either afraid / surprise, anger / disgust. But for the most part, there are four basic emotions according to social scientists. I'm curious about emotions because I think many of ours are backwards. And so my mind begins to play around with this notion, and then I want to balance it against the scripture. And so my question is, when is it the right emotion, and how is it expressed, and how do we know that it's right? And so I turn into the scripture, and I find in the book of Luke, chapter number 1, verse 35 through 44, wonderful passage of scripture. Luke chapter number 1, verse 35 through 44. This deals with, at least in part, an emotion. So let's find it. This is the angel. So the angel answered and said unto her, Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she is also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into the city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, does that do for you what it did for me? Obviously not. Social scientists told us that there were four basic emotions, and then they began to shape for us the environment in which we should feel those four basic emotions. But when I read the word of the Lord, the Bible says pregnant Mary and pregnant Elizabeth get in the same vicinity, and the baby inside Elizabeth begins to jump or leap, and then it said for joy. Well, that doesn't match what the social scientists tell us. So I want to convince you that they were wrong. That beyond fear and beyond that smile and beyond surprise and beyond anger, there is something at a deeper level that's more innate in all of those things. That a baby that does not have a developed brain and therefore cannot have full cognition somehow falls under the unction of the presence of Jesus while he's still in the womb, and without understanding knows instinctively that the right thing to do is to jump for joy. So if when you come in the presence of God, you don't instinctively want to move, I'm telling you, you used to. It was something that was formed in you before any other action or emotion or cognition could be developed. I love that it happened. Elizabeth's 6 months pregnant, and that's a good time for babies to start kicking and moving, but this one took it a step further and began to leap for joy. And here we are in 2014, and I still get happy in the presence of the Lord, and something still just wants to make me leap for joy. Even if I didn't learn it, if you don't leap for joy in the presence of the Lord, it's because somebody convinced you that that's not what you're supposed to do. But I'm trying to convince you that from the earliest of times, it was natural for babies somehow or another to know that this is how you respond in the presence of the Master. So now, we no longer need social scientists to tell us about the environment in which a certain emotion should be then manifested. Because instead of having that, we have the Word of God. So this is how you ought to feel. And when you don't feel that way, you've got to get your emotions baptize and get your emotions converted, because when you are in the presence of the Lord, you ought to experience great joy. The Bible says, Thou wilt show me my path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Does this help explain why we smile, although sometimes the environment and the circumstances may not warrant a smile, or while we praise the Lord when our life may be in a mess? It's what we was designed to do at the most basic part of who we are. I thank God for that. So at some point, I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to you about emotions. I talked to you about the mind, but I've not talked to you about emotions. We got to get our emotions in the right place. So think about this, and then I'm going to preach something that really I'm supposed to be preaching to you. Think about this. The expression of the presence of God, or being in the presence of God, ought to be connected with just joy and excitement. But it wasn't always that way. As a matter of fact, oftentimes when the angels come, they have to tell people, don't be afraid. Well, how'd you learn to become afraid? When the presence of the Lord comes into the house, what's there to be afraid about? What's there to be worried about? So if you feel afraid or worried, that's a backward emotion. If somebody breaks into your house and you're in the house, unprotected, now you can feel afraid. Now you can feel worried. But when God comes into your crisis, you ought to feel peace and calm and joy and reassurance. And we wrestle until we get those things where they belong, in the right place, those emotions in the right place. Stand with me for a moment. We're going to transition. I'm going to talk about that some other time. I still love the joy jump. You know what my sign name is? My sign name is B, the letter B, and then that's my sign name. It's a jumping B. Because when the deaf people who named me, that's kind of the rule. If you're going to be in the deaf community, the deaf people have to name you. And so the deaf person that named me gave me the name based on the expression that she's witnessed the most. And so she was thinking about a name, and she said, she's going through all this. That's my first D didn't work. She's, yeah, this feels right. And the other deaf people in the crowd began to shake their head. Yes, B, that's right, B. And so that's my sign. I still love to jump. I still love to jump. I still love to jump. I still love to leap for joy. I still want to worship him. Even when I'm tired, I still want to praise him. I love praising the Lord. I was built to do this. I was designed to do this. And when you don't do it, it's because someone has taught you over time that you should not do it. You were designed by God to leap for joy. All right, now I got to read from the book of Genesis, chapter 32. What do you say? Will you give me about 10 minutes for this sermon? Can I have 15? What about 30? 45? Hour and a half. Yeah, right. There was a shift of intensity, but I think that was like, all right, if we're going to be here, we're going to have church. Genesis chapter number 32 and verse number 20. What if you're all by yourself? My God. I'm not done yet. Come here. One of you ladies, come help me. Perfect. Just stand right here. Just hold that scripture for a second. Now, I've got daughters. How old are you? I don't have one that young, but I've got daughters. Yeah, they're old, so you're just going to be the daughter for tonight because none of them came with me. Is it going to work? I always fist bump my daughters. Boom. If I am a good father, and most of the time I think I am, I'm very warm, I'm very nurturing, I give my daughters hugs and kisses every time I see them, whether they want it or not. I just shower them all the time. Oh, you're so pretty, all the time. That's what I do. That's my relationship. And when they were young, they would, of course, be a little accident prone, and they would fall down. If they fell down and I thought it was serious, I would go to them. So you're going to be the daughter, and all you have to do is just kind of gently fall down. And don't worry, no hugs and kisses. Just perfect. And now if she's hurt, and can't see me and is worried and is upset, when I come on the scene, her emotions ought to shift. If they don't, I'm going to have to scratch my head and go, your dad, who always helps you out, who has from your time you were just a baby, always taken care of you, just showed up in this crisis of yours. Why don't you respond by feeling different about it? So if she does not change her emotions, she has to have those emotions converted. When our Heavenly Father shows up, it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter how bad it is. You ought to start feeling different about it. That's the normal expression on earth. So come on, you two girls. Look like you wanted to help anyway. You stand back up. Here you go. Good. Love it. Okay, right. No. That's close enough to her. Back off. If she's being bullied by these two, give her some mean looks. Wow. Tone that down a little bit. And she's dealing with it all by herself, and she's under great pressure and stress, and she feels condemned because they've called her ugly, and she feels horrible. And then her daddy shows up on the scene. She ought to feel different about this scenario. The opposition has not changed. What they said has not changed. But what has changed is her father has shown up by her side. Watch this. In the animal kingdom, I'm going to preach in a minute, but I'm just doing where I feel like God needs me to be right now. In the animal kingdom, I was knocking doors. Out knocking doors. Love it. Love it. Love it. Knocking doors. And I heard it before I heard any people. I heard, meep, 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 meep. And I thought, I'll swallow you. And the door kind of cracked open, and the puppy, it really thought it was a Rottweiler, but it was like the size of my hand, went, meep, meep, meep. And I looked around, there were no adults, and so I threatened it. I took a step, and it went, meep, meep. And then I heard stirring in the house. And the owner came out of the door and said, how can I help you? And that little dog said, grrr. I thought, what? Just a few seconds ago, I intimidated that little mutt with a little movement. But then the owners show, even in the animal kingdom, there's an understanding that you got to change how you feel when the circumstances change and your master shows up, or your father shows up, or your husband shows up. We get our emotions back in check. And so I'm not going to belittle any situation you might find yourself in, but I'm telling you, there's a great big God here who showed up to help you, and you've got to somehow recognize his presence. It ought to change your emotions about the situation. It ought to change how you feel about yourself and your chances of doing well in this situation. It ought to change all of that. Wrestle with our emotions. Wrestle and get them in the right place. I'm telling you, one day I'm going to preach about that, man. I'm going to preach about that and ask God to set us free. Have a seat for a moment. Goodness gracious. I need a husband and a wife team to come join me for a moment. Look at you being shy. Okay, there you go. Don't be shy. Come on. Just stand right here by me. Everybody see him all right? You stay right there. You come with me. Now, this good brother has a great job. And he goes to work every day and he walks in and someone says, well, good morning, sir. He says, good morning. Can I get you anything to drink this morning? And he says, no, I'm good. Or he says, yeah, a coffee would be nice. Thank you. And well, you look really nice and just have a great morning. And he smiles real big. And all day long, he does a great job. And just things are great at work. And he turns and goes home. And home, you see, well, you know, it's not all that pretty at home. And she's ticked off at something, and he asked her about it. He really did. He said, what's wrong? And she said, nothing. And he believed that. Dude, nothing is always Greek for everything. She did that, giving to him. Just give him the what for. That's right. And he's now, no, wait a second here. And he puts his hand on the hip, and he I'm going to be the man. Put your foot down. Go ahead and put your, there you go. And then, come on, that's enough. That's enough. And he gives it right back to her. And they decide that, you know what, that's fine. You just do your thing. I'm do my thing. I don't have much to say to you tonight. And the next day, you know, they don't even have much of a goodbye. And he gets all turned around and go to work. And he's on his way to work. And people are so kind and gentle at work. And he's such a good worker. As a matter of fact, he got a bonus. And you did a great job. High five. And wow, man, you're just on it. That you just killed that meeting. You closed that deal. And you're just on it. And he goes back home and see, he's married to a descendant of Goliath. And she puts her hands on her hips and says, give me a man that I might fight with him. And the brain is the most complex unit in the world. It hates to learn things twice, so it takes notes quickly. It knows what environments it needs to relax in and what environment it needs to be on guard and alert. And he is learning very quickly that when I come home, I need to be alert. But when I'm at work, I can let my guard down. And so he doesn't even like coming home, but he likes going to work. And he goes to work a little extra early. And now he stays at work a little bit longer. And so now he's doing a great job. And they love him even that much more. High five, and daps. Poof. And he comes home, stay right there. But before he gets home, she has a breakthrough service. She's online listening to Holy Ghost radio, and man, she's just having a breakthrough, and hands are in there, woo, and she's talking in tongues, and God's convicting her about her attitude. Now, you wasn't that picky with him when you were dating, and God begins to just help her out a little bit. And God gives her love and grace and mercy, and she's all normal again. Matter of fact, she's decided that when he gets home, she's going to greet him with a big hug and have his favorite dessert already done. So he's feeling that smile off your face. He's feeling it. He's feeling all happy from work. He gets home, and because of classical conditioning, because he knows this is about to be a fight, he touches a doorknob of his own house. He reaches out, and the moment he makes contact, his brain reproduces the chemical structure and the chemical markers that are consistent with the last few times he's been in this environment, and he is ready to fight. He is extra alert. And he opens the door and she says, hi, honey. He says, why are you so happy? She said, well, I was in prayer today, and he says, it's about time. And that smile in her voice starts to fade. And she says, well, I really was trying to be better and do some different things? And he says, good, I've got a whole list. And she's like, no, you didn't. No, I'm just kidding. The smile is gone. The look is stern. She's thinking about what she could have been done while she was making that dessert from scratch. She dialed herself up. He didn't even notice. She feels about, you know, that tall. And she starts to cry. And she turns around and she goes to that dessert. And she dumps it in the garbage. And she screams something as she's on her way to her room. All of this happened based on his emotions and her emotions. Watch the backwardness of this. He gets up the next morning, he's not happy with her still. But on the way to work, the closer he gets to the world, the closer he gets to an environment that is really not safe, the better he feels. Because in this environment, they will stroke his ego. In this environment, they'll tell him he's wonderful and great and he feels better. And no matter how miserable he felt on the way to work, when he touches the doorknob of his office, he feels great, like $1 million. And at the end of the day, he dreads going home and his emotions are all whacked. They're messed up and they've got to be converted, because that's the only safe place outside of the church, is that sanctuary. And he stood at the altar with that woman and he promised some things that now he's doubting. And God's calling to the church saying, get your emotions in check, because right now they're all out of whack. Give her a big hug so y'all don't look like you're fighting. That's long enough. David said it. David said it. He said, man, I looked at the wicked and all their prosperity, and I'm shaking my head going, those people should be losers. They shouldn't be doing that well. He says, I about stumbled, my feet well, and I slipped, but then somehow or another, I made my way to the house of the Lord. When I got on the inside, it all came flooding back to me. It all made sense all of a sudden. You can have the worst day. You can get fired from all four of your jobs and feel miserable and be broke and down and out. And you pull into that parking lot and something says, this is a safe place. This is a good place. You belong here. You're going to find healing here. You're going to find friends here. These people will help you. These people will pray for you. You're going to worship here. You're going to worship here. The person with backward emotion says, oh no, I got to go to church tonight. Oh man. Oh man, they're going to sing. And we're going to have to jump and shout. And then the preacher's going to scream. And it's just, and then they're going to lay hands on me and shake and bake me. And I just got to go to church tonight. Backwards, backwards, backwards. You ought to be hanging on to the altar going, I wish this service would just not end. I wish this thing would not end. Tomorrow, I'm going to go into the world. But right now, I'm in the presence of the Lord. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, pleasures forevermore. I want to be in the presence of the Lord, and I love being here. You got to get your emotions in check. And here's the beautiful thing: if you will understand the beauty of getting into the house, when you're in the house, he'll deal with all your other emotions. Come on, somebody stand with me for a moment. Lay your hands on your own head, would you, and begin to pray right now in Jesus' name. Father, help me, God. Touch my emotions, God. I need to think the right things, God. I need to experience, God, the right kinds of thoughts. I need to feel the right kinds of things, oh God. Lord, there are some things about me, God, that are backwards and upside down. I shouldn't feel so happy about some of the disgusting things in our world, but sometimes I find pleasure in them. Help me out tonight, oh God, I pray. Deal with my emotions, oh God. Help me to feel, God, the sting, God, when I hear about a missionary who's suffering, oh God. That's what ought to stir me, oh God. Help me, oh God. Get my emotions in the right place. Come on, lift your voice. Jesus, Jesus, Shannarati Yola Lamosa, Eco Yola Lamosa, Narati Yola Lamosa. I have a half-sister. For a long time, I was the only child, and outside of her, I'm an only child. And my half-sister is, well, we're different. And when I see my half-sister, we give each other a hug. Yeah, it was either Paul, you or Paul. Sorry, put you in that spot. Hey, sis. I really need to start traveling with my daughters or wife or somebody. And, probably that. And my sister will kiss me on the cheek. And she will compliment me on something. And she feels stronger about me than I feel about her. So I will just usually give her a dap. But not one time when she walked in, did I go, girl. Not one time when she hugged me did I feel anything that was inappropriate. She is my sister. Gag. What I can feel toward her is love and compassion and benevolence because she is my sister. Brothers, we gotta check our emotions. So if I call you brother, and if I call you sister, my emotions need to be matching what I just called you. So why are you checking out your sister?
I'm just saying.
What did you just feel about her? You need to take that emotion and bury your face in the altar until it's converted. It's not the right one. It's backwards. It's twisted. It's a part of the old man rising back up in you.
All right, Lord, can I stop this now? I was talking to him. Y'all hear me? Y'all all right? Y'all love one another, right? It's a body of Christ, man. We got to love one another.
Well, oh well, we're just going to be here for a while.
You can be seated. Our church, was, it's a great church. It's not a huge church. It's a great church. And it's just a thriving kind of church, and just very, very energetic. As a matter of fact, minus about three people, my wife and I are the oldest people in our church. It's a young church. It's 16 years old, and it's a young body. There are just a handful of people older than me. And they're awesome. We were having great church, man, growing. It was 20 of us, and there was 30 of us, and there were 40 of us, and there were 50 of us, just growing, growing, growing. And we were in a building that collapsed, and it was a miracle of God how it worked out. A man came to me and said, he says, my name is Brother Becton, younger, passed away now. And he goes, you probably don't know me, but my parents started their ministry in this church, the old White Way Tabernacle. He said, and I'm in the insurance building. Do you have insurance on this church? And I said, well, you know, this is a brand new work, and we haven't gotten to that place yet. He goes, my wife and I want to sponsor that. And he was an agent, so he says, we'll cover you, but we want to pay for it because this is where they started, and we're so glad you're back downtown St. Louis. And a month later, the building fell in. And the first check that was sent to us was for 70 plus thousand. And the second check that was sent to us was for 90 plus thousand. And then there was a third check that was sent to us, all intercepted, and we never saw any of it. And that offense happened by the church, in the church. And for the next 5 years, I loaded people in my car, and our saints loaded people in their cars, and we caravaned through St. Louis City. 6 months here, 6 months over there. We had church in three different locations. The young people were in one building. Down the street from that was the children, and down the street from that were the adults, because we were scattered. And for 5 years, we were scattered. And I said, God, this is not right. And our brothers have offended us, and I can prove it. And I was in the church by myself. I'm going to get to this message, maybe or maybe I won't. I was in the church by myself, praying for revival. Downtown St. Louis. Oh, God, pour it out. God, I know you planted us here. I know you want us here. Pour it out. Pour it out. I'm praying for revival. And then I said, God, protect us from our enemies. You know there are those who have hurt us and who have burned us. And God spoke to me. He said, Daniel, pick revenge or revival. I remember going, first of all, I was shocked that he'd put me on the spot like that. But I knew he had. And I said, well, then I want revival. I threw my hands up and I cried my last tear over that offense. I was done with it. I'm going to push for revival, and that's what I'm going to do. And then it was 3 or 4 years later, I was in a buffet line at one of our big meetings that we have. Church folks get together and all the preachers get together. And standing in the line, just a few people from me, was one of the people who had caused us such great hardship. And we're all scooping out our salad. Well, I was. And I'm thinking, I don't even want to be eating with him. I got my food and I walked away and I sat down to pray about it, and God said, check that emotion. You can hate the devil. You cannot hate your brothers. I picked through my food, mad. Picked through my food, glanced over at him. Picked through my food some more. Debating, do I go and apologize? Or do I punch him in the throat? Five years we were on the go. For 5 years. Imagine that. Caravans. For 5 years. Went over to him. Said, head hanging down like this. I need to apologize to you for how I felt about you all these years. Over that situation, and you know what it's about. And although God dealt with me about that, I just don't like you, and I haven't liked you for all those years. And I don't have anything good to say about you, and I don't feel anything good toward you. But that needs to die right now. So would you pray for me? Would you forgive me? Would you help me? I can't feel this way. And some of you are sitting there going, well, you were justified in the flesh. Well, they did steal your money, a lot of it. Well, anybody would have been upset. I'm not anybody. I'm not everybody. God was dealing with me. You've got to love your brother, but I didn't even like him. I had emotions toward him that would be more consistent with the emotions you would have toward an enemy. But he was my brother. And yes, he made a mistake. And yes, it was wrong. And yes, it was sin. But if you allow your emotions to go off in one area, it's only a matter of time before your emotions are all backwards in every area of life. So I had to humble myself and bite my tongue and do things that I didn't want to do and say things I didn't want to say because I got to get my emotions where they belong. They've got to give it to God. Got to give him my mind. Got to give him my heart. I've got to give him everything about me. This is not what I'm supposed to be preaching right now. I don't know what I plan to preach right now, but I've got to reach for somebody and tell you, if you let your emotions get a little bit out of whack, you're going to have lots of problems. If they treat you better at work than you get treated at home, and so you love going to work and you're not so happy about going home, you need to work on those emotions. You gotta bury yourself in the altar tonight until you learn how to feel about God's presence, until you learn how to feel about God's people, until you learn how to feel about your brothers and your sisters. You gotta give that thing over to a conversion experience that matches the one you thought you have already had. You've gotta give it to God. Father, in the name of Jesus. God, this is a stronghold in so many lives. People have offended us, God, and we've got a reason and a rationale to be angry, to be bitter, to be hurt, to be upset. And God, sometimes it happens in the body. And God, we take those same upset emotions and we apply it to the people of God. Help us, Lord. Move us past that moment. Come on, lift your hands for a moment, would you? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. Mm. Feel after the Lord. Just feel after the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on. Come on, if you felt a certain way for a long time, it's not going to feel natural to feel something different. But would you seek after God right now? Let Him help you know how to respond. Come on, I'm reaching for those who've been hurt. Come on, you've not let it go and it's keeping you right where you are. It keeps informing how you think. It informs your decisions. But it's all based on something that God cannot bless.
Because it starts with emotions that are wrong. God, somebody here needs to learn to love the church more. That deep love, oh God. Somebody here needs to love, God, the people who are lost in this world more, God. They've never broken an intercession, God, because they don't know how to access that emotion. Some others, God, only know how to access the emotion of anger. So the only time they ever express anything, God, is when they're lashing out, but it's backwards, and you will heal them tonight if they will only give themselves to you. It'll be a blessing to their family immediately, God, because they'll feel love instead of wrath. Come on, somebody, bury your face tonight. Bury your face tonight, young people. Bury your face tonight, saints of God. Pray this prayer, God. Keep me here until I learn to love what you love and hate what you hate. Which means I'll never hate people because you died for them, and I'll never love sin because it violates the holiness and who you are, of who you are. Teach me, God, the right things to fear. I shouldn't fear that the preacher will prophesy over me. I don't pray for that. I shouldn't fear, God, that my pastor will say something that will correct me. I ought to pray for that. I shouldn't love the world nor the things in the world. Those are wrong emotions. God, touch our moms and our dads. Sometimes, God, parenting can be such a stress and a strain that God just entered into it brings in so many negative emotions. Touch our husbands and our wives, God. God, if home has become a battle zone, help us tonight to break through that, oh God, to pray through that, God, to repent, God, to make fresh commitments, oh God. Lord, help us. Feel the right things, Lord. Help us to feel the right things, Lord.
Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. I told you that in our church there are only a few people older than me. We have two ladies who are in their 80s. And there was a third, and she was in her late 70s, and she passed away. But before she passed away, she was such a sweet lady and still very able to play the organ. And she'd play during offering. And her name is Dorothy. And Sister Dorothy was so sweet. We knocked on her door, and she was so happy that we were in her neighborhood. She just started crying. There had not been a Pentecostal church in her neighborhood for many, many years. And she had stayed downtown St. Louis and just wasn't going to church anywhere anymore. And she started coming, and she says, "I've got a sister." And sure enough, she had an older sister that just looked like her twin, just a few years older. And I told Dorothy for the longest time, I said, "Invite your sister to come." And she said, "Pastor, she probably won't come." She goes, "But she knows the truth. She grew up in this." And I said, "Well, invite her to come again." And about 6 months into it, I said, "Invite your sister to come." She says, "Pastor, my sister won't come because she made it very clear when I first invited her that she would never go to a church if the pastor was black. And my sister won't come because you're black." I said, "Invite her again." Well, Sister Dorothy passed away, and I preached her funeral, and her sister was there. And I loved Sister Dorothy so much, really did. And her sister could see it, the family could see it. And so I took it upon myself. I said, "You know, would you honor your sister? You look so much alike. Would you honor your sister? There's a hole in our church. Would you come and would you just sit there?" And she said, "I'll come once." And she came, and she came, and that was a few years ago. And about maybe a year ago, during service, just big tears, she called me over, and, you know, older people have a way when they talk, they pull you close. She pulled me real close, and she got me real close to her face. And she got right eyeball to eyeball, and she just cried. And she says, "I need to apologize to you. For the longest time, I wouldn't come to this church because you were black." She says, "But you are such a good pastor to me, and I love you so much." And she gave me such a big hug. And I wanted to ask her, when did it change? But I didn't, because I kind of knew the answer. It was in one of those services in the presence of God, when she realized that emotion wasn't the right emotion to ever have held on to, and she felt that she needed to repent of it, although she had probably released it a long time ago. But you see, he changes the things that we are feeling that we ought not feel. He changes those things in us. No matter how long you've held on to it, if it's the wrong emotion, you've got to give it to God and let him. He'll mold you. He'll put you back on the potter's wheel, and he'll put his fingers, and he'll pry, and he'll mold you until you are doing what he wants you to do and thinking the way he wants you to think and feeling the way he wants you to feel. And God will help us. He'll help our emotions. I believe that. Why don't you stand with me? If you want to keep praying, of course you can. I'm not going to dismiss the service. It's not my role, but I do want to ask you to stand. I want you to lift your hands. Would you just begin to pray right now for your city? If you struggle to pray with tears, if you struggle to pray with any sort of sincerity, would you find the right way to pray right now? If you'll tap into God, he will help you know the emotions to express. And then pray through those things. Pray with passion. Pray with indignation. Pray however God is directing you to pray. But would you take a moment or two and intercede for this city? God, there are people lost, and there are people dying, and there are people who don't know you, oh God. And there's a fire in this church. Oh God, like a torch in every hand of every believer in this church. Would you let that fire spread throughout this city? That somebody, God, would be delivered. Somebody, God, would be changed. Somebody would be restored. Some family is breaking apart right now, but if we can get to them first, if we can touch them with the fire of the Holy Ghost, some young person is making bad choices right now, but if our youth group can get to them first, if our youth group can touch them with the fire of the Holy Ghost, then they might have a chance. Come on and pray, somebody.
Come on, right now, why don't you go and find somebody to pray with for just a moment? Let's make intercession for the city. The whole